Man, I'm excited to share with you just some encouraging words from Scripture today. Just as we begin a new year, as we end one year and come to the next, it's hard to believe it's 2018, isn't it? I remember as a kid, it doesn't seem that long ago, looking at a calendar and thinking, what will the world be like when it hits 2000? Y'all remember that? You kids from the 1900s, way back in the day, you know. You remember looking at that and you think, man, what will the world look like in 2000? We thought our computers were going to take over or crash and the whole system was going to fall apart. Remember when Y2K came around? And you realize we're almost two decades into the 21st century. That is crazy. Time goes by quickly, doesn't it? And so we look back on that and we realize that we must be careful because if we're not careful, the days will get past us and the months will click off and the years will click off. And the next thing you know, it's 2050 or something crazy like that. I don't even know how we'll write that, right? You know, how do we even fathom that? It's difficult for us to think about. So this morning I've titled this message today, A New Beginning. A new beginning. Anytime that we come to a new year or we come to the end or the beginning of something, I think it's good for us to take our cues from Scripture, isn't it? Take our clues from Scripture about what it is that God has done. And we observe the Lord's Supper today, which is a look back, but it's also a look forward, isn't it? It's a look back on what Christ has done for us and his blood and his body that were given for us. But ultimately, it is a reminder that because of his shed blood and because of his body that was broken, for those of us who are in a relationship with him, we are indeed new, aren't we? Scripture talks over and over again about what was old, what once dead, what was dark in Christ can be made new, unbroken. Fresh, you understand? It's the picture of this that we look at over and over again in Scripture. What a great reminder for us. I had a privilege this week of spending several days in Guatemala with David Gunther, who's in here today. David and I went down and spent some time with some missionaries there in Guatemala. I was reminded again that the church and God is at work all over the world. He is saving people. He is changing lives. And I'm excited in the next few weeks to share with my Grace Church family how we can be a part of what God is doing in Guatemala. And I'm really excited to share with you in the coming weeks about what all is going down there. But one of the things that opened my eyes as I was thinking through this message today and as I was thinking through what it is that God wanted me to share, he just reminded me that his newness, His light and his life knows no language, knows no boundaries, does it? He changes lives in a third world country. He changes lives in Fort Worth, Texas. He changes lives indeed all over the world. And if you are a child of God, if you are a new creation, you are surrounded by brothers and sisters all over the world and in all different languages. And we have an opportunity in 2018 to live that out, don't we? To live it out. We are indeed blessed, and I hope you know that as we begin looking at God's Word this morning. Before we do that, I went to Wikipedia, my favorite source of news, just because you can make up stuff if you want to, so it's fine. No, I went to Wikipedia. I said, man, what were some big things that happened in 2017? We ought to reflect, right, and just think of some big things that happened in the world, and there were a lot. I was like, man, I don't even know how to pick. So I picked four. They are not political or anything, please. Just these are my random observations from what happened in 2017. First thing that happened, we inaugurated the co-star of Home Alone as our 45th president of the United States. The Apprentice. Maybe that's I'm kidding. No political statement. I'm saying we inaugurated Donald Trump. He became the 45th president of the United States in January. Later in the year, I believe it was in March, so SpaceX, have you heard of SpaceX? They're reusing rockets and they're working towards sending private citizens into space. Look, I have a life goal, and it is to go to the moon before I die. So I need SpaceX to bring the cost down from the $5 million that it is right now to about $500, and then I'm in. So if it gets there before I die, I'm going to the moon, and I'll take some pictures and tell you guys all about it one Sunday. It'll be great. So that was exciting to me. I'm looking forward to that. Maybe I'll be 116 years old when that happens. I don't know. August of this year, you guys may have seen this. There was a total solar eclipse. Do you remember that? Really beautiful. Reminded me of just God. You know, God, who aligns the heavens, right? Who aligns the stars? Our Father who is in heaven. And it was great. Maybe you got you a welding helmet or made you some kind of periscope or something and looked at the eclipse. I hope you didn't look at it with your eyes. I heard that was bad, so don't do that. But it was pretty cool. I could see it from my yard. I tried to look at my cell phone camera. They said you could do that. Never figured that out. Don't know how they did that. But anyway. And then last but not least, man, we had a really big event here in our state, a catastrophic event, Hurricanes Harvey. And then Irma was the other that went to the Caribbean. Just a lot of devastation. That's Houston. You guys know we sent a team down there and cleaned out near Beaumont. I mean, just a ton of our people in our state that were affected. I had personal friends and family who were down there who were affected, and many of you may have, and they're just now beginning to get rebuilt. All of these things have one thing in common. And here's what it is. And I'm going to remind you of this because it holds true in 2017 and it holds true in 2018. And all of that, God was still in control. You understand that? God was sovereign. He was involved in everything that happened. And even when we don't understand why or how all these things work together, all things work together for the glory of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. And we understand that God's sovereignty is bigger than our small understanding, isn't it? So today I'm going to give you an action message. I want you to take something out, and I'm going to give you the action point first. I'm going to give you the point first, but you do have to stay awake for the rest of the sermon because I'd like you to hang with me. There is some stuff in the middle here that I think is important. The action point is this. In 2018, the church, those of you who are in Christ, have an opportunity to live out your faith in real, tangible ways. You can do this. Why? Because you are a new creation. Because you are in Christ, you have the opportunity in 2018 to live out your faith. How are we going to do that? Well, I'm glad you ask. Ephesians chapter 4, let's take our Bible. Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to begin in verse 17. We're going to look through the end of the chapter, and I'm going to pick up on a theme that I talked about a few months ago about how Paul was speaking to the church at Ephesus about the opportunity they had to glorify God and to unify the believers. He said, I want you to glorify God, church. I want you to unify the believers. And he's going to speak to them here about how and why they can do this. It's because they have a new life. It's because they have a new beginning. So let's read these words together. Verse 17. Now this I say and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do. In the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. Verse 20, but that is not the way you learn Christ! Exclamation point. Assuming that you have heard about Him, and we're taught in Him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God, in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Why? As God in Christ has forgiven you. May God bless the reading and teaching of His Word today. Did you hear in there, it wasn't very subtle, was it? This idea of a new standard, this idea of a new way of living that was different from the old way of living that Paul had spoken to the Gentiles about. In other words, he said, you're not the same anymore. You're different. And if you're different, if you've been made new in Christ, then you are going to not only look different, you're going to do some of the things we're talking about, you're going to speak different, you're going to act different. For you see, one of the things that I want us to focus in on in 2018 that we should have been focusing in on always is the fact that the Christian life is not lived in a vacuum, is it? The Christian life is not lived alone. All of you, all of us relate to people every day. Some people we relate to are Christians, our brothers and sisters, and we say, hallelujah, we relate to our brothers and sisters, and we talk about good Christian things with them. Sometimes you go to work, and I'll bet most of you go to work with people who are not believers. Maybe they're anti-anything to do with God. Maybe you go to school with them. Maybe you may even have family. You just got through Christmas. You may have had some fun conversations with your family, right? Or maybe that's just my family, right? You get to those points and you realize that the Christian life is lived out in relationships, all kind of relationships that take all different shapes and sizes. And Paul says to the church at Ephesus, look, now that you are new creations, you should leave the world and go live up in the hills, right? That's what he said. And go and don't associate with anybody. Nope, that's not what it says. They still lived where? Exactly where they lived before. Among the Gentiles and among the people they had just come from, right? And so they were still in the world. And so if they're still in the same world that they had lived in, how can you tell any kind of difference? Well, they know, well, my heart's different, Lord. I mean, you've come into my heart. And Paul would say, that's great. That's a good start. But now I want you to live like you're changed. I want you to live like you've been changed on the inside. I want you to take off these old, dirty garments, and I want you to put on these new clothes. You'll notice in the first half of the chapter that we read, there's a lot of words that talk about how they used to live. Futility, darkened, ignorance, hardness of heart. And he contrasts all those with these words like learning, hearing, teaching in Christ. In other words, everything that we're going to look at today, and I think you'll see this as we progress through the, there is a negative that's balanced out by a new positive. In other words, all of these bad things, all of these negative things, God through Christ balances with something new and something positive. So verse 20, I emphasized it a little bit, and I want you to go back to it because it's the turning point of this text. It says, but that is not the way you learn Christ. Literally, you did not so learn from Christ. You did not learn this from that. You don't, that's not who you are anymore. Jesus Christ is the one who had changed you. And so not only was he the one who taught you, he was also the subject of his teaching. That's kind of interesting, isn't it, right? Christ teaching about Christ. It's kind of weird, isn't it? Like, I'm going to teach about myself. That's not normal. But Christ, being the Son of God, can teach about himself if he wants to, right? And so Christ is not only the teacher, he is the subject of the teaching. He says, that's not what you learned in Christ. You don't live in darkness anymore. You don't live in hardness of heart. You don't live in futility. You don't live in ignorance. You're not ignorant anymore. You've seen the light. You've seen the truth. And since you've been changed, and since you've seen the truth, he says, there's going to be some things that are going to look different. There's going to be some things that are at odds with your former way of life. You can't be the same anymore. He says in verse 22, he says, you've got to put off your old self, which belongs to what? It belongs to your former manner of life. And it's corrupt. It's rotten. And you put on the new self that's created after the likeness of God. It's very much a garment reference, if you will. And I told the other service, I'll share with you one of the movies I really like, and you may or may not have seen, is Shawshank Redemption. You know, seeing the movie, it's old now. I got to thinking it was from 1995. That seems like it was just the other day. Anyway, so The Shawshank Redemption. If you know the story, if you don't, it's on TNT every other day, I'm pretty sure. So you can watch it. And the guy is in prison, falsely accused. And so he devises this escape plan. And when he comes out, as he's escaped from prison, he's in the water, and he stands up. And the first thing he does is symbolic. He takes off his prison clothes. Did you catch that? He takes off his prison clothes. I'm not a prisoner anymore. I mean, if I get out of prison, I'm not going to keep wearing these prison clothes. I'm free. That's very much the analogy that Paul gives here. You are not a prisoner. You're not a slave to sin. You're not a prisoner to sin. So you take off those prison clothes and you put on some new clothes that signify who you are now. You're a child of God. So this involves a radical change, a conversion, a recreation, all the church words that you know and you've heard. Because it balances out this idea of what was corrupt is now created after the likeness of God. What was once deceitful desires are now filled with righteousness and holiness. What is once a lie is now filled with truth. How do you do this? Well, one way, verse 23, I skipped over that on purpose, is that we are renewing the spirit of our minds. It's this idea of a constant, continual renewing of your mind. Now, why do you spend time with God or in God's word in the morning? Well, if you're like me, I need to renew my mind. I need to remind myself of who he is. Now, he didn't change, did he? No. But for some reason, I'm a stubborn old human and I need to be reminded, don't I? So I renew my mind every day of his mercies that are new every morning. And so there's this idea of, as the children of God, we're to get up in the morning and we're to renew our mind. Maybe it's not in the morning for you, but listen, you renew your mind with the things of God continually. And then we go out and we face this world, as I shared with you. You throw off this old conduct. You throw off these old rotten clothes. I mentioned it as well like this, in the prison clothes. It's kind of like when we're in a different role, we wear different clothes, don't we? If you were a soldier, maybe many of you were soldiers or a sailor. And when you were on duty, you wore your uniform, right? Maybe while you were active, you wore. And then when you got out of the military, or maybe you retired out of the military, you put your civvies on, right? Isn't that what it's called? You put your civvies on. You're the same person, but you're in a different role, aren't you? I'm the same. I'm not even sure that I'm the same person anymore. I've got to take off these old clothes. I've got to put on the new. So I told you I want to leave you with something concrete today. Paul does a wonderful job of doing that, and I'm simply going to just tear straight from the text what he says. Five different ways today that we can have a new beginning in 2018. Straight from Scripture. Five things that we can do to our neighbors, in our church, that we can do that show people that we are a new creation. First thing, simply don't tell lies. Don't tell lies, but tell the truth. You think, Justin, this is elementary stuff. You bet it is, but guess what? We all struggle with this. Why do you think Scripture mentions the same things over and over again? I don't know. Maybe it's just for me, because I need to hear it about 7 billion times, right? I don't know about you, but sometimes it's good to be reminded that we are to be a people of the truth. I told you there'd be a negative and a positive. The negative is lies. The positive is truth. What do you want to be in your job? What do you want to be in your school? Do you want to be someone who is known as a person of truth? I hope you do. I hope when people think of you, when people think of me, they think that person speaks truth. I can trust what they can say. God help us. May we be a people who are people of the truth, who stand up for truth, and who hate falsehood and who hate lies. Paul says here, you see it simply, put away falsehood, let each of you speak truth, even with his neighbor. You understand he's talking about neighbors are not just those that are here in the church. He's talking about those in the world, those you interact with. But he mentions the members one of another, which seems to speak to our church body. What is a good way to kill a church? Fill it up with lies. See, falsehood undermines fellowship, but truth strengthens it. Let us be people of truth this year, Grace. Let us speak truth. Let us put away lies. Let us hate them. Secondly, Don't lose your temper, but rather have righteous anger. Now, this one's tough. I'll tell you, of all the five I'm going to give you, this one is the hardest, okay? I'll be honest. Because in the Bible, there is clearly presented two kinds of anger: righteous anger, unrighteous anger. We like to say, my anger is righteous, right? But you got to be careful with that, don't you? Because we are really quick sometimes to begin to pronounce judgments upon people or on things, when in reality we need to examine our own lives first. We need to be careful that we don't cross over from judgment. But listen, are we supposed to hate sin? Yep. Are we supposed to hate the things that God hates? Yes. Well, then you do that. But you be careful that your anger is righteous. You'll notice in the Bible here, in Paul's letters, that he mentions, that he expands on this. He said, you can be angry, but what does he say? Don't sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. And what verse 27 says, don't give an opportunity to the devil. So I'm going to tell you, I'm really cautious about this statement, because I'll tell you, it seems to me like Paul had some pretty stern warnings, didn't he? Let's be careful. Let's be angry. Let's make it a righteous anger. Let's not lose our temper and just be angry to be angry. I don't want to see you picketing down at Albertson's this afternoon, all right? Because you're angry about something. I'm just kidding. If you need to, do it in the right spirit, okay? Don't lose your temper, okay? Have a righteous anger. Look, I do want us to hate sin because God hates sin. But I want us to be careful that the world knows us not as people who are just angry all the time. Listen, I'm sorry. There's a lot of groups that put the label Christian on them, and all they do is yell and get angry all the time. That's not, I believe, a righteous anger. Okay? So let's not lose our temper. Let's have a righteous anger. Number three is this. Don't steal, but work or give. And you're like, well, Justin, I hadn't robbed anything lately. I feel like I'm doing pretty good on this one. I learned the Ten Commandments many years ago. I believe it's the Eighth Commandment. I learned it in the King James myself. Thou shalt not steal. Check. Well, I did one time there, but that was another story. Lord forgave me for that. But anyway, I'll tell you that story another day. Anyways, thou shalt not steal. You say, okay, I've got that, but I told you for every negative, there was a positive. So if you're saying, I don't steal, great, that's good, good start. How about working and giving? What does Paul say right here? Look in there in the verse, see there in verse 28. He said, let the thief no longer steal. You've got that. But rather, let him labor, doing honest work with his hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Huh. It's not enough just to stop stealing, church. You're called to start giving. Stop stealing, start giving. You know, there are a ton of ways you can give this year. You think, oh, Justin's about to talk about money. Yep, that's one. Okay. You can certainly give your money. You can give your money to missions. You can give your money to the church. You can give your money. That's fine. But I don't know what you can give. You can give you. You can give your time. You can give your talents. You can give your abilities. You can honor God with all that you have. All that you have. So stop stealing and start giving. Man, what a blessing that'll be. Fourth thing. Don't use your mouth for evil, but rather for good. Boy, the mouth is an interesting thing that God gave us, isn't it? Speech can be a gift from God. Have you ever needed to be encouraged and somebody comes along at the right time and gives you a word of encouragement? It's a great feeling, isn't it? When somebody says, they lift you up when you're really down. I know God's put the right people in my path sometimes, man, it's awesome. But have you ever been torn down by words? I bet you have. So let's not use our mouth this year for evil. Let's use our mouth for good. Paul says here, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth. You know what that word corrupting really means? It's rotten. It's stinky. It's trash. Don't let any trash come out of your mouth. But rather, let something building up that it says, the Bible says here, that it may give grace to those who hear. Oh, Lord, let us be a people of good talk this year. I get sick of hearing bad talk. It seems to be all we hear, isn't it? Lord, let us be a people who speak for good. Lastly, simply don't be unkind or bitter, but be kind and loving. Verses 31 1 and 32 speak this plainly. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander, all those things sound really horrible, don't they? Because they are, right? All these things, let all these things be put away from you along with malice. Like, oh, I don't think I have any malice. I don't even know what it is. But trust me, they're all bad. Put all these things away. Verse 32, be kind to one another. Tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Boy, the end is important if you're an underliner. Why should I do all these things? Why should I put all these things away and put on these other things? As God in Christ forgave you. I was once a dirty, unkind, lost wanderer, as many of you were. And the God of all creation looked down and offered me salvation. And when I said yes to Jesus, He changed me. He gave me a new heart. He gave me a new life. He gave me a new clothes. Yeah, I got to renew my mind every day. Let me tell you, I do. I got to renew my mind. But He gave the ability to say no to unkind and bitterness and say yes to loving and speaking truth and working and having a righteous anger. Do you see? He clothed me with this. May we put it on this year. May we put it on, church. May we live it out. May we do more than just say it, though. May we live it, live it. I want you to live out this year a couple of things. And the first thing is I want you to live out who you are. If you are a child of God, if you are one of His children, if you have been born again, then live that out. Live out what you believe. Do you believe that He has provision to care for your every need? Do you believe that He works all these things together for good? Then live that out. Do you believe that He has the power to change the world and to save sinners? You believe that? Then live it out. Then live it out. The same God that was present in the church at Ephesus. You understand this? This is important. The same God that was present in the church at Ephesus is present here today. He changed their lives. He can change your life. Maybe He already has. If He hasn't, He can. He can change a little village in Guatemala. He can feed hungry kids. He can feed them not only food, but He can feed them the truth of the gospel. I look forward to what all He's going to do in 2018. And I want you to do the same, church. You have been given a great gift. You have been given a great ability. Now let's take it and let's run with it. Let's do something that can only be explained as being and coming from God Himself. And then next year we'll sit back in 2019 and go, man, look at all that God did. I look forward to that day, church. It'll be a wonderful time of celebration. Let's bow for just a moment. We'll close. My prayer for you this morning is simple. Maybe you need to commit 2018 to the Lord. Maybe you want to come and bow and pray. I invite you to come do that. Maybe you need to speak to one of our prayer partners. I invite you to do that. They'll be here both during the invitation and after the service. Come and just say, hey, pray for me this year. I need somebody to pray for me. That's okay. That's what we're here for. We're here to pray over you. That's what this church is about. We can do that today. So come and let somebody pray over you. Come pray at the altar. Maybe today you need a relationship with this Jesus that we talked about. Guess what? That's available. That is absolutely available for you. If you want someone to pray with you, you come up to our prayer partners, you come to me, I'll tell you about how you can know this Jesus. Come up here and do that. We'd love to have you. Maybe today you just need to stand and sing and worship and say, thank you, God, for who you are and what you've done. Whatever you do, you just be obedient this morning as the Spirit leads you. Father, we give this time to you. We pray in this time of worship that you would simply move in the hearts of your people. God, that you would simply call us to a righteousness, call us to a holiness. Lord, that we would show the world that we are a new creation. God, I pray today that if there are hearts here that need to be turned toward you, they would, Lord, be open to your Spirit at this time and respond in obedience. We won't coerce or convince. Father, your Spirit will do the work, and we trust you to do that this morning. But God, as we stand and sing, I pray that our hearts would be filled with the truth of your word, the truth of salvation, the truth of a new life found only in Christ. So we worship you this morning, God. May you be glorified in our song and in our prayers and our worship. In Jesus' name.